With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You just can't stop complimenting me, can you?
Hello, you're listening to Known For, a filmography podcast with me, Bob Choi, and my co-host.
Hey, it's Becca.
And today we are talking about the filmography of Liv Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
This was your choice.
Yeah.
Why did you choose Liv Tyler? Because it's not one I was expecting you to choose. Because I'm saying Liv Tyler's not a good actress and or any of that. But not the most prominent.
I think that's why I chose her.
Okay.
Because she always sort of like appears in stuff.
Right.
And obviously one of her massive films is like Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love like the Lord of the Rings trilogy. So I've always loved Lord of the Rings. And I think I was just like, what else has she been in? And just use this as an excuse to kind of like find out a little bit more about what she's done.
And the thing that we found a little bit of a struggle, we watched loads of films.
Yeah.
Like a lot of films. But she hasn't got many lead roles.
Yeah, I'd say, like, if anything, like, we normally do, like, so what's this actor's, like, kind of track record or whatever? Like, what are they specialised in? I think Liz Tyler's, like, specialised in not being, like, a main character. Like, it's not her fault. It's obviously how she's been, like, cast and stuff.
Right.
But it's a real shame.
She's often a side character.
Yeah, she's more of like an addition. She's like someone's girlfriend or like someone's like friend
like
or like
wife.
Some girl in like the village or town or whatever. Or like she's never like the main event, which is a bit of a shame actually.
She's been a lot of like ensemble cast films.
Yeah.
She's a lot of side characters and a lot of like things like Empire Records where it's a big ensemble or Lord of the Rings or whatever. But there was only a few that she was lead in. And normally when we come around to like picking our favourites at the end and the ones that they should be known for, we sort of not include like the ones of their side characters.
Mm.
But it's going to be kind of hard to do that in this because that is like 9 out of 10 films of hers is she's a side character.
Yeah.
But we'll see. So we normally say things that are sort of recognisable for the actor, like things that pop up again and again, of the type of characters they play.
Yeah.
And you said for her it was kind of difficult to say that.
I guess she's like, because she's always the side character, it's not like, oh, she mostly plays like leading roles that are like this, because she's hardly actually done any. So like, I suppose her like, what should we call it?
Defining traits?
Yeah, so like, I suppose her traits are just like, she's a side character and she's fairly often plays like a romantic girlfriendy character.
Yeah. I've got here, because I always try and rack my brain of like what can I say about the actor, the type of roles they play.
Right.
So I've got, obviously, she's very soft-spoken.
Mm.
That's like a very recognisable trait of hers.
Mm-hmm.
But
there are a few exceptions.
Yeah, there are times where she defies your expectation with that, though. I noticed in a lot of films, she's very mild-mannered and soft-spoken until she loses her temper and then she'll suddenly start shouting.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to always take you off guard because she's so soft-spoken the rest of the time. And I got that, obviously, she used to be a model and still does model. And that's like a big part of her image, is that sort of like statuesque beauty.
Yeah.
And she often plays characters who are defined by their beauty. is what I got. That is all. That is like most of the time an actual defining part of the character she plays.
Yeah.
And the other thing about I wrote about her being soft-spoken is like sometimes she's mild and then she'll shout.
Mm.
A lot of times she will take you off guard because she seems kind of mild-mannered, and actually her character will be very playful.
Mm-hmm.
She often plays like very like playful characters,
yeah,
more comedic than you're expecting them to be.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what I got.
Cool.
So about her as a person, other than the very famous thing, let's get that out of the way. What do you?
So her dad,
yeah,
is in Aerosmith.
Yeah, Steven Tyler.
Yeah,
I didn't.
But she didn't know that for a long time.
Right? I didn't know that. That's really? The famous thing about her.
Oh,
and I never knew that until you suggested it. I was looking up and I was like, oh shit, I didn't know that they were a relation.
Well, look, she didn't know for ages, didn't she?
No,
she was like had a different like a faux dad.
Well, she didn't meet her real dad, Steven Tyler, till she was... Well, I've got a few different ages here. Like one interview of her, she said 8, and then another one, I read that it was 10. But, you know, 8 to 10.
Quite young.
Yeah. She did, but it was... Well, you say young, but it's still 8 to 10 years where she didn't actually know who her real dad was.
Yeah.
She was raised by another guy and had his surname. She was born Liv Rundgren.
Right.
Which she now has as her middle name. She's Liv Rundgren Tyler.
Right.
Because she has a really good relationship with both her dads. When she did first meet Stephen,
right,
she wasn't told, like, this is your dad.
Okay.
But she actually kind of suspected it.
Oh, really?
Weirdly, I don't know why you would meet another guy if you thought some other guy was your dad and go, I think he's my dad. I don't know why you would say it, but this is what she said, that she suspected it and actually asked her mum afterwards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and...
was her mum just like,
Yeah, you know, she told her the truth.
Okay.
The reason that she was not told that he was her real dad when she was born is because at the time he was on a lot of drugs.
Right.
And having a bit of a wild time and wasn't seen to be in any position to be like raising a child. So, yeah. Very strange situation.
Yeah, it is a bit. Okay, fair enough.
And yet she's been acting since she was a child. Actually, her first couple of roles were in music videos for Aerosmith.
Yeah.
And,
that's weird, right?
She's lingerie ambassador for, Triumph Lingerie. So, models lingerie.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the films that she's known for on IMDb. What are the four that they highlight?
So, Armageddon.
Okay.
Which I'd never seen before. Only 2 Lord of the Rings, not all 3. So Return of the King and Fellowship.
Right.
And The Strangers.
Okay.
Which you've seen, but it's a horror film, isn't it?
Well, normally we say we'll watch all the sort of most famous films, any ones that like listeners recommend or suggest or that we see online and like, check out this film. But the four, the top four, the known four, we... make sure we definitely watch.
Yep.
But you actually decided not to watch The Strangers.
Yeah.
So you broke the rules, in a way.
I broke the rules. It's my show, and I broke the rules of my own show. Just because it's a horror show.
You didn't want to watch a horror film?
No. Okay. They're not my cup of tea. How was it? What was it like?
What's your... We'll get to it. We'll do them in order. We'll come to The Strangers in a minute. So we'll start with Aerosmith. Armageddon.
Armageddon was... it's like a really famous film that I'd never seen before.
I hadn't seen it either.
Yeah.
To me, this was a bit like Titanic, where you say you haven't seen Titanic, people are like, you haven't seen that?
Yeah.
And us having never seen it, I keep wanting to call it Aerosmith, us having never seen Armageddon.
Aerosmith are in it.
I won't know the music is, yeah. I knew the song because it was number one for what felt like about 16 years.
Yeah, I'd never seen it, and I thought it was pretty naff.
Well, hang on a minute, because we did sort of decide when we started the show that we don't want to be too negative on it. So let's just say that we won't spend too much time talking about Armageddon.
For such a for such a famous film, I don't know why it's so beloved.
I was quite surprised at it.
Yeah.
When I watched it, it wasn't what I expected it to be. I didn't realise it was going to be so wacky. It's got a lot of wacky comedy.
I thought it was going to be way cooler and like more badass, but there are some really silly bits in it.
Yeah, actually, a lot of the cast of this film
Oh, they got like hoodwinked, didn't they?
Well, Steve Buscemi was a little bit. They made out his character would be like quite cool, like a cool scientist.
And then
after they cast him, they just made his character like a cartoon character and a bit of a sleazebag. Because he said he was getting sick of playing sleazebags. And then so he'd signed up to this, and then they changed the character because he signed up. But
sorry,
a lot
about
him and like even and like Ben Affleck and a lot of the cast are just like kind of disowned this film.
Mm.
Billy Bob Thornton, he's kind of embarrassed of this film.
Yeah.
But, you know, it has got its fans. People do like this film. It is a really popular film.
Yeah.
Just wasn't for me. She actually turned this role down twice before she did.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. She has got quite a big role in this one, to be fair. Like, she's like the daughter of thingy's character.
Of Bruce Willis's character.
Bruce Willis's character. He was also in a relationship with thingy's character. What's his name?
Affleck.
Yeah, so she's in a relationship
she's
with Ben
Affleck.
She's
tied to, like, probably the two main characters.
Yeah.
But again...
She's, like, the third character.
She's, like, the girl in a film full of men.
Yeah.
And that's, like, her character. She plays the girl.
Yeah.
There's not much to her character at all.
I lied to you, too, when I told you that I didn't want to be like you. Because I am like you. And everything... good that I have inside of me, I have from you. I love you so much, Debbie. I'm so proud of you.
So there you go, Armageddon.
And this opened on her 21st birthday, so she was really young.
Yeah.
And this is like a really big, famous film for her to be in so young.
Actually, that is one thing I think about Liv Tyler like a lot. Like her age just seems, she seems just like forever young.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of her early films, I'm just like, she's not aged one second since her last film for like 20 years.
We watched quite a lot of her older ones though.
Yeah.
And it feels like she isn't in as many films now.
Yeah.
But she's done quite a bit of TV stuff, which we wouldn't have watched.
Yeah, so. She's doing more TV.
Yeah.
Mm.
But yeah, we're not going to spend too much time talking about Armageddon. I would say brace yourself for it to not be in our top four by the end.
Yeah.
And there we go. We'll talk about Lord of the Rings now, because this is the main event. This is what you really wanted to talk about and why you chose her to make me watch Lord of the Rings again.
Yes. So we did a LOTR back to back, all three in one weekend. So we did like one in one day and then two.
We did the first two on day one
and then
the next one the next day. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was when people in the UK will remember, especially in the north, we live in Yorkshire. The beginning of this year, like February,
it was like horrific
storms.
Yeah,
like don't leave the house. We live next to a river that was like rising
flooded.
Up the banks, flooding over. So we said, let's stay in and watch.
Our windows like leaked like crazy.
Yeah,
and we spent the whole weekend watching Lord of the Rings, pretty much.
Yeah, and
it was
only the second time I've ever seen these films.
Yeah,
and the first time for what, 15 years?
Yep, I watch these a lot, but I always skip the Sam and Frodo bits.
Why?
Right, it's a really long film anyway.
Right.
And if you skip them bits, it makes it slightly more tolerable. So
yeah,
you can just like watch it.
That is
and
arguably
find,
the main thread.
Yeah, definitely is the main thread. But it's really slow. And also, because I've seen it so many times, it's like a bit boring.
Right. But that has nothing to do with Liv Tyler's character.
No.
So she plays... Arwen. Yeah.
She's an elf.
Yes.
She's Aragorn's love interest.
Yes.
She's torn between staying with the elves and becoming immortal or giving it all up and being with him for the short amount of time that he is on Earth, even though he lives longer than normal humans anyway.
Yeah, but it's not immortality, is it?
No. So that's her... storyline.
I actually do like her in this.
Mm.
She's
not in it loads, but she's in it a bit more than I think you remember she was.
She's not in it a lot. She's in it way more than Cate Blanchett, who I thought was in it more. When we talked about her on that episode, I thought that role was way bigger. She's in, what, like 2 minutes per film?
Yeah.
If that.
And some voiceover.
Whereas Liv Tyler's character is not in it a great deal, but is a prominent character and is in all three films and has like prominent scenes in all three films. Has like an important thread running through them.
Yes. But I guess if we talk about Lord of the Rings, because there's only two in her
top
four.
We'll talk about all three of them.
But yeah, we'll just chat about
because we're talking about her character really in these. So after choosing her and Cate Blanchett,
Yeah.
I guess your choice is just working through all the Elven Lord of the Rings characters. So we can expect like Orlando Bloom and Hugo Weaving.
Yeah. Oh, Hugo would be cool one to do. He's cool. Yeah, so she's not in it that much. So I don't really know if we can like really chat about it. But a massive ensemble film again.
Actually,
so.
Her character, it was expanded a great deal from the books.
Really?
So that her character in the books is much smaller.
Right.
And they actually sort of expanded it and sort of conflated multiple characters into her.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And she wasn't familiar with the books before recording.
No, I've not read them.
Before filming, she didn't know really the story of Lord of the Rings. She like knuckled down after she got the role. Really liked them. And then learn a lot of Elvish for the role because I would say like 70% of her dialogue is in Elvish.
Yeah.
And actually more is in Elvish than was originally intended because she kept saying to Peter Jackson, how about I do this scene in Elvish?
Yeah.
I think it'll be better.
That's cool.
Especially in the Two Towers, there's like a long scene between her and
Aragorn. Yeah.
That's all in Elvish.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be in English. And she suggested, she said, well, my character speaks Elvish. His character speaks Elvish.
Yeah.
Me and him both can do Elvish as actors.
Yeah.
And they have this emotional bond. Why don't we do this scene in Elvish?
Why? Like, how would you just go about learning a language?
Well, I'm learning a language at the moment.
Yeah, but like, they got, I don't know how long, far in advance they got cast to this stuff. Is it, how long would it take you to learn Elvish? Like, years?
No. I mean, you've only got to learn enough to get by these scenes, I suppose.
Yeah. Anyway, I think she really embodies an elven princess really, really well anyway. Her, like, her physical appearance, like her face shape and everything really just makes it way more believable. And I think she was a really good person to cast in that role.
Mm-hmm.
You said you'd bind yourself to me, forsaking the immortal life of your people.
And to that I hold. I would rather share one lifetime with you than face all the ages of this world alone.
The so obviously she has both the ears.
Yeah.
We said like Kate Blanchett got to keep her ears.
Did she?
Yeah, at the end. Everyone got sort of to keep different things.
Yeah.
So you know you said about she has to choose whether to be immortal or not.
Yeah.
So the scene where they're going, doing the march to the immortality thing.
Through the forest.
I'm really bad with Lord of the Rings lore. I'm making people tear their hair out.
Through the forest.
But she has the dress that she's wearing for that.
Oh, yeah.
She got to keep that dress. That was her thing. Her ears, actually between scenes, she left them on the dashboard of her car and they melted. So she had to get a few more ears.
That's so funny.
But she wasn't the first cast for this role.
Oh, really?
This was supposed to be Uma Thurman.
Okay.
And she had to pull out last minute because she became pregnant.
I can see Uma in this role, but I think that Liv is slightly more like ethereal.
She has that soft speaking. Yeah. We said about how Cate Blanchett was really good as an elf because she has quite a distinct voice that like lures you in, and Tyler has a distinct voice as well. They have,
but her character's like really different. So like Kate's character in it is more like authoritative, whereas her character is a little bit more like kind of like fey and delicate, and like she's like a princess, just like in love, basically, and like coming to terms with if she like what she's how her life is going to play out.
Yeah. But her character, and I said they like sort of combined some characters into one to give her more of a role. Actually, after they cast her, they decided to expand the role a bit more because they liked her in the role. They wanted to give her more to do. So they actually combined Arwen with the character of Glorfindel,
right,
I think is the name of the character from the books.
Oh, you're struggling.
Yeah, I'm really not big on Lord of the Rings. They're fine, they're right. I don't dislike them, but...
They are an epic, like, fantasy film, though.
Yeah.
Like, one of the best. Like, we watched Conan the Barbarian last night for our next installment of
Don't Give Anything Away,
which is Schwarzenegger. And that is a fantasy film. And if you compare that to this...
It's very different. It's very different. Look forward to the next episode to us to write Conan. First time either of us has seen that as well. So they'd seen her, obviously, so Uma had to pull out, and they'd seen Liv in Plunkett and McLean.
Right, okay.
Which she was in the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw her in that and thought, oh, she'll be good. So they got her over to this.
That's cool. She's not, has she worked with anybody in this before, like any of the actors? I don't think so, actually.
I don't think so.
Because we mentioned a few actors and actresses sometimes, like, kind of, you see them reappearing in each other's, like, films and stuff like that, but I think... This was a standalone for her, kind of.
The I said about them expanding the role.
Yeah.
In some points, they actually intended to expand it even further, but drew back a little bit because it's like we are changing the books too much.
Right.
So initially, she was actually supposed to be in the second film at the Battle of Helm's Deep.
Okay.
They were way into the planning stage of this. She went through all their sword fighting training.
Oh my god.
But yeah,
I don't think that's her. I don't think I would have liked to see her in that.
No, they removed the character. I don't think they ever filmed it. I think they removed those scenes because they were like, this is too much not a part of the book.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, replacing a character with hers and expanding. It's just adding a whole new thing, which they thought was too much, and they sort of pulled back from that. But she did have to go. She went for all the training.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And in the Return of the King, she actually sang the song that is in that film, that the elven song that plays over her. That's her singing.
Oh, that's cool.
I'll put a clip of that song in now, actually.
Yeah.
So that's actually Liv singing.
Cool.
In that film. Yeah, the horse that her character rides. I've got one last little fact for you here.
Right.
I had loads of facts for these because there's loads of facts. I think there's
Rings
films
online. Well,
I had to pick and choose.
There's
some.
So many films, isn't there? So.
But the horse that she rides, her riding double.
Yeah.
Viggo Mortensen is, like, you know, he's a big
horse
guy.
Yeah.
He actually purchased that horse after filming.
Right. His horse.
The Arwen's horse.
Oh, really?
He purchased her horse.
All right.
And gifted it to her riding double.
Oh,
at
wow.
The end of filming.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Why?
I guess he just liked the horse, and he obviously saw that they had, like, a good bond, and he was like, you can keep this horse.
Oh, that's so nice. Oh.
And that's all I have to say on Lord of the Rings.
See, you guys are a cool guy.
I do like her in these.
Yeah.
She's not the main character by far.
No.
What I found interesting, actually, about her character is when I looked at the posters for these films, the most commonly used posters, she's on the front of all of these really prominently.
Yeah.
So she is considered, like, a really major part of these films.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she's not part of the main characters.
Which is why I'm, like, surprised that, like, two of the three Lord of the Rings are in her top four.
Mm.
Because, yeah, she's not a massive character in any of them. But I suppose the reason behind them being... is that they are probably her most famous film she's ever been in, maybe, and that's why they're up there. But I wouldn't consider it her, like, most known for roles.
Mm. Yeah, but maybe it's to do, like, with the amount of scenes that she has in them. Like, the first one, they're such famous films.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, everyone's seen these films, so this is probably a role they think of when they think of her.
Yeah.
That first film, she gets to do the whole water magic Again, I'm not a big Lord of the Rings thing. With the, when she's saving Frodo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Elven water magic. I don't know what it's called. But she has that kind of big action scene or showy scene. And then the last one is a lot of the stuff between her and
Aragorn.
Yeah. I'm going to leave in all my struggling. I'm not going to edit around it.
She's not in, the Two Towers isn't in her Nine Force. So,
though of the three, it's my favourite. And actually, of the scenes, I actually like her scene from the Two Towers probably the most, which is the more slow, romantic-y scene between her and Aragorn. Mm. I guess in the third one is probably she has most to do in the third because it is like she's choosing to stay behind and it's all the death scenes. So I suppose of the three, that's her most important.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So I like the Two Towers as well.
Two Towers is my favourite of the three. But I think it feels a little bit self-contained. It's got its own little kind of self-contained story.
That's where the most action happens as well.
Yeah.
I think that's why I like watching it without Sam and Frodo, because if you do omit them out, it's like just a really good action film.
I feel like that. Even though I've only watched them twice, I feel like Two Towers kind of has its own thread.
Yeah.
With Aragorn.
It's got its own pace as well, I think. It's a little bit more fast-paced.
You said, had she starred alongside any of these actors before?
Mm.
And I don't think she had. She would later star alongside Brad Dourif, who plays Wormtongue in these, in Wildling. But I don't think they have any scenes together, right?
Mm.
In these?
No.
No. So, yeah, that's the only one I could think of. Mm. But, yeah, that's Lord of the Rings. What's the other known for? The Strangers?
Strangers, yeah, which you've seen. I didn't watch that. What was it about?
It's typical home invasion horror.
Right, okay.
So her and, her partner home.
She's like
Strange
defending.
Knocks on the door in the night and people invading their home and it was
causing trouble.
The problem is with those sort of films, I think the reason people watch them is because it's the tension of the people inside trying to survive and stuff.
Right.
But there was really only two characters.
Mm.
So it's not even like they're getting picked off throughout the film. It's two characters.
Right.
And you know they're not going to die.
Right.
So that ruined a bit of the suspense for me because I'm like, well, they're not going to, there's only two of them. They're not going to die now.
Whatever happens.
Otherwise the film will be over. It's not like there's like six of them in the house and like any of them could die and how are they going to survive? So it ruined a bit of the tension for me.
Hmm.
But it was...
She was one of the main characters though, right?
Oh, she is like the main character in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's it. Like it was kind of a fine kind of, it did quite well, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, horror films like this are really cheap to make. So they always make a lot of money because even if some people go and see them, they've got more, they have less outgoings to pay for them to get made. This, it felt kind of a low budget film. It's one set basically.
Yeah.
She's watching us.
She looks like a ghost. You want me to talk to her?
They don't want to talk.
You know, they want something. People just don't stand up there staring at us like that. They want something. Shit. I'm gonna leave my phone in the car. I'm gonna go get it.
You can't go out there.
Why?
One of them came in here and took my phone.
But yeah, this was all right. She did quite well in it.
Mm-hmm.
I know the director would not tell her or give her false information of where noises and things would come from.
Mm-hmm.
He would say, oh, there's a noise coming to your left and you go down this corridor in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually it come from the right. So her reaction would be more genuine.
Right. Okay. So like two false... Give her like false stuff, right?
Yeah, and she would like go run laps before each scene. So that's how she's all like out of breath
panting
and stuff.
And, okay.
And she's usually jumping jacks and stuff before scenes, stuff like that. Get herself worn out and have the director tell her false information.
Right, yeah.
And I thought she was like pretty good in it, but these films aren't like the most artistic of films.
Yeah.
Like it was fine. I wouldn't say it's the best thing she's done. Has sort of some sort of interesting imagery with the people who invade the house. You never see their face, which I thought was quite cool.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of like aired in mystery.
Mm-hmm.
It was all right, you know.
Okay.
I can watch a horror film, but these aren't my favourite types.
Cool. Right.
And that's it. That's the known force.
Yep.
Interesting. I think we're going to have a real different lineup by the end of it.
Probably.
For this one.
Yeah.
So.
Let's go back to the beginning then.
Yeah, let's go back to the beginning.
From her... The beginning of a filmography.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. So, One of her first roles, like her film roles, is Heavy, 1995.
Yeah.
So it's about, she's basically like a waitress and she gets the job at this diner. And like there's a couple that like own it. I think it's like a mother and son.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the son is like, he's like a bit older than her and has like a real crush on her, but he's like a little bit overweight chef and he's quite like insular.
He's very self-conscious about the way he looks and he's not good at socializing.
Yeah.
Feels a little bit like Asperger's sort of type character.
He's definitely on some kind of spectrum.
And it's really, he's the sort of the main character.
Yeah.
But it's about his crush on her. Yeah. Which you keep thinking is going to delve into like creepy territory. Yeah.
It's on the verge of like a bit creepy the whole time.
Because she likes him. They have like a nice friendship.
Yeah. I think it's also about her sort of like helping him come out of his shell a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I really like her in this.
I liked her in this. I like this type of film.
Yeah.
These like small films.
Well, yeah, there's only a couple of locations, really. Yeah. It just goes on in this like diner.
Interestingly, her co-worker in this is played by Debbie Harry.
Yeah.
Which is Who you didn't recognise,
and I did.
I recognised her as soon as she started speaking. So recognised pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But when she appeared, you're like, is that Debbie Harry? I was like, oh, I don't know. And then she started speaking. Yeah. It was interesting film. Not my favourite. Like, there's nothing outstanding, but I do like this style of film, these slow, small films.
Yeah. It's like a real slow burn, isn't it?
Yeah, small town, like Americana-y sort of films.
Yes.
And she's done a few of them.
Mm.
She's done a few of them, and every time I put one on, I was thinking, oh, I like this sort of film, this is going to do it. And none of them really hit the spot.
Yeah.
Because there's some a bit later, one in particular, which I thought I was going to really enjoy, and I've ended up not being so.
It's like, I think they're in the same vein as like Gilbert Grape.
Yeah.
And Gilbert Grape really hit the spot and I was like, this is cool.
Or like This Boy's Life, I love them.
But they just, like the ones that she's been in that have in like a similar feel have just, not been quite.
Yeah.
Like.
From the outset and from the opening scenes, I always think, oh, I'm going to like this.
Yeah.
And then they never settle into a place I want them to be.
It's not like you want it to go crazy or whatever, but it's just,
And this was interestingly, who directed this? Has an interesting director. James Mangold directed this.
Mm.
So this was directed by James Mangold. It's one of his like really early films.
Mm.
And he would go on to do Ford v Ferrari, Walk the Line, Logan, like big films. I actually think he's pinned to do the new Indiana Jones film at the moment because Spielberg stepped down.
So yeah, this is an early one from him.
So it's a really early one for him, yeah.
You can kind of see his like style a little bit, just like little veins of it.
Yeah, but it's an interesting film. I don't know. I would say I like.
It's hard to talk about because it's such a weird. Like the vibe of it is weird. The stuff that happens is weird.
It's quite a unique film.
Like nothing happens really, but then like stuff does happen.
Mm.
It's hard to talk about without like giving it all away.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Empire Records anyway. Sugar.
Oh, is that next up?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So,
which I loved.
You love this film?
Yeah, it's really fun.
Okay.
It's so silly. It's just like, this is another... Actually, this is kind of a small town like Americana like film that actually does hit the spot, for me. It's pretty good.
I'd never seen this before.
Yeah.
And it is very much of its time.
Yeah.
Like, it is a little bit dated in some places.
It's a bit like High Fidelity. Like, a little bit. It's got, like, the same...
Exactly, like that's what it reminded me of. Actually, Neil, regular contributor to the show, he messaged me when he'd heard the one where we announced that Liv Tyler was going to be the next one. He was kind of surprised. He's like, you know, I don't dislike her or anything, but I've never been blown away by anything I've seen her in.
I think that's why I picked her. I think a lot of people have the same, like, feelings about her, I think. I like her, but I don't know what she's in and I don't know.
He drew the High Fidelity connection as well, though. He said, I own Empire Records that has a young her in it, But the truth is, I would always rather watch High Fidelity or Dazed and Confused instead.
Right.
In my opinion, it's the way lesser film of the three.
Yeah.
But I, when it started, I thought, oh God, and I was sort of like rolling my eyes a little bit. This is going to be a hard work.
Yeah.
And then once you settle into the stupid teen sort of film that it is and accept it as what it is.
Yeah.
You just go with it. It was quite enjoyable.
Yeah. It's got Rennie, like a really young Rennie Zellweger.
Really young Rennie Zellweger in it, yeah.
But nobody else that's like crazy famous except for like Liv. So it's a pretty like low-key film.
But this to me settled her into a type of character that works really well for her.
Mm.
Like a sort of a prominent character within an ensemble piece who is, like I said, sort of defined by her beauty.
Yeah.
But is also quite fun in places with it. And is soft-spoken, but then she loses her temper in this and will shout. And this is, this really settles into the sort of role that I think she's best in.
Yeah.
You listen to me!
Hello, Court.
You're so special and you're so talented and you have everything it takes. You have more than everything it takes. And you're really stupid because you don't know that. And I know you don't love me anymore and I know that I blew it, but at least I know that. And if you don't go to art school, and if you don't understand how special you are, then you know nothing.
Corey, I mean...
And I did love you, and I still... Only I didn't realize it really was love, because it was more than love, and it wasn't just some stupid feeling in my stomach like everything else. And I'll never love anybody as much as you, and I hate you! Hate you!
Corey,
why did you wait so long?
I quit.
So yeah, I really liked... I liked it. It's pretty good fun. It's like a easy-to-watch thing, but... She doesn't shine out in it because it's an ensemble piece, really.
But I think she does kind of shine out in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think she's probably one of the major characters. Like, she's one that they focus on mostly, I think.
Yeah, because you've got the relationship that's bubbling between her and the guys as well, and amongst it, and that's a real, like, core thread.
And, like, her relationship with Rennie's character.
Mm. And on all the posters, she's like the front character. She's always like in the middle and they're surrounding her.
Yes,
I think she's intended to be the main character, but there isn't really a main character at all.
Mm.
But yeah, that was a really popular film. Mm. And it's another one that's a very well-known, famous film that I watched for the first time.
It's like a, like a 90s, like, feel-good film.
But after this, she got her first leading role in Stealing Beauty.
Yeah.
Which is it's a French-made film. It's in English, but it's is it French or Spanish?
It's Italian.
It's Italian. Yeah, yeah. What am I thinking? Completely wrong. It's an Italian-made film.
Yeah,
and it's quite.
It's really interesting, like the vibe of it.
We said like it's so sexually charged
the whole time.
Yeah.
It's basically just like Liv's character coming of age, and she gets like dropped off at a friend's. Of her dad's house in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
It's where her mum, like, stayed quite a lot with, like, her
it's
friends
like,
and
a little
stuff.
Bit of, like, an artist's retreat in the middle of nowhere, and it's all these sort of rich artist types who just sort of... It's almost like a commune or something. They all live in these massive houses and just party.
They'll just, like, drop in on one another, and it kind of revolves around this, like, one place. There's a lot of big characters in here as well.
You're just watching... These people's lives for like a summer maybe.
Yeah.
And like not a lot happens. I actually like this style of film. Who's it got? It's got Jeremy Irons in it.
Yeah.
And she sort of strikes up a friendship with him. But there's like he plays a poet. But there's a sculptor.
They're all like creatives, aren't they?
Writers.
Her mum was a writer in there, sort of all waiting for her to like be a writer.
But a lot of it is about
Rachel Weisz in it as well.
Oh, Rachel Weisz in it. Yeah, I remember, yeah. A lot of this is about her, the fact that she's a virgin.
Yeah.
I think she's 19. Yeah. Her character's 19 and she was 19.
Right.
And it's the sort of surprise that she's still a virgin when she's 19, but she feels like pressured by
it's one of those films where it's like, it is quite true to life, because she turns up and then, like, she tells Jeremy Irons' character in confidence that she's a virgin, and then he lets it slip, and then they all start chatting about it because it's, like, small, insular, like, there's only, like, maybe 10 characters in the whole movie or something like that. Like,
well,
like,
at the big parties you see more, but
yeah, but in the house there's like a few characters, and they're all, and then she finds them chatting about it, and she just gets really like frustrated. So I think at that point she's just like, I need to lose my virginity, because otherwise I'm going to be the talking stock of like the whole
wanting to do it right, but then them saying, oh yeah, there's no such thing as doing it right, just do it, and all this stuff. And it is like the pressure of sex at that age.
And her next door neighbours are like, I've got two Italian boys, I think. And she used to have like a thing for one of them years and years and years ago. She used to like write to him and stuff, and it's about her relationship with those brothers and things.
Lucy Harmon is on a journey.
I just want to be a woman.
I can't get over how grown up you look.
I hope so after 4 years.
A summer vacation in a land of enchantment.
Ian's doing my portrait. It's really just an excuse for my father to send me to Italy.
You met Lucy.
Oh, she's irresistible. I'm mad about it.
Now, in this house.
I think we've been faithful to each other for 20 years. Can you believe that?
Yes.
In this magical place.
I wrote you once, you know.
What was it about?
How I thought of you when I was in the woods.
You wrote that letter?
You're in need of a ravisher.
I'm waiting.
She'll meet people she's never imagined.
You ever get the feeling you're being watched?
Mm-hmm.
Experience feelings she's only dreamed of.
I mean, you do have fantasies, right?
She'll discover a mystery.
Do you remember where you were in August
1975? That will unlock her past.
I met him in the summer when I was 15. He was the first person I really kissed.
She's searching for something.
But throughout it, you've also got her trying to uncover the mystery of her true parentage. So this really mirrors Liv in real life.
Yeah.
She's trying to work out who her real dad is.
Yeah.
It's like a real central mystery to this as well. So you have also got that plot going through it.
Yeah.
But it's very erotic in places, this film.
Yeah, it's like really charged, the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Like, the backdrop is stunning. And the parties and stuff are really, like, weird and,
like,
interesting.
It's a weird film. Like, I feel like we keep saying every film that comes up is a weird film. Like, the tone of this, she does pick, like, interesting films.
Yeah.
She's been in a real, something I read before was, like it's hard to pin down the sort of role she takes or the sort of film she's in, because it's actually really varied.
Yeah.
And it is. The thing they have in common is just there's a lot of odd films. They're all quite odd.
But yeah, go and watch it.
I thought it was interesting, and I think it was a good, like, first lead role for her.
Yeah, because she plays, I don't know if, like, she, her actual personality mirrors those of what she plays in films, but she's fairly, like, timid but inquisitive in this one, mm-hmm. which I quite like.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe if that is a trait that she has, then it's that she plays timid, inquisitive, like, characters. So, yeah, it's a good film. I liked it. So check it out.
Yeah, interesting. After this, oh, wow, this is way earlier in her career than I thought.
That Thing You Do.
Yeah. Second time we talked about this film.
Yeah, maybe.
You're prepared to get that song stuck in your head again.
She, again, like her tropey character, she is the girlfriend of one of the main band members of That Thing You Do, which is like about a fictional one-hit wonder band.
Well, they are the Wonders, that's the name of the band.
Yeah, the Wonders, which is an awesome film if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I really do like this film.
We spoke about it in our Tom Hanks pod because he's one of the main characters. He's like the band's manager.
It's a fairly small role.
Mm.
He's not in it all that much, but he wrote and directed this film. This is his baby. And yeah, this is a really good film. Like you said, this is Liv in, like, playing the girl in a cast which is all men.
Yeah.
But she's very charming and likable in this film. She's very excitable. She's very, like, supportive of her boyfriend, whose band are, like, making it. There's a great scene where she's the first person who hears their song on the radio, and
yeah, makes a big deal of it.
Screaming in the town like they're all from a small town.
Yeah.
Here's something new. A local Erie band's got a new record out. Just won the Mercyhurst talent show a couple of weeks ago. This is Erie's own Home Fighter.
And yeah, like, again, another ensemble. But I like her in this film, and I really like this film in general.
Yeah, I like that she plays sort of like a down-to-earth character despite all the crazy goings on, like this, like, band are like rising to fame, but she's still quite grounded throughout
and
the whole thing.
And she stays grounded more so than the band when they're losing it.
Yeah.
She's sort of like, you know, what's going on? We do.
To the point where she sort of gets cast aside a little bit. And
yeah. Yeah, she has more of a role in the first half of the film. Yeah. Yeah.
From now on, you stay away from me. I have wasted thousands and thousands of kisses on you. Kisses that I thought were special because of your lips and your smile and all your color and life. I used to think that was the real you when you smiled. But now I know that you don't mean any of it. You just save it for all your songs. Shame on me for kissing you with my eyes closed so tight.
I like this. Like, I keep saying I like this film, I like her role, but I do like this.
It's definitely one to watch.
You forget. I actually kind of forget that she was in this, and then when I remembered that she was in it, I was like, oh yeah, of course she is. Like, she's got some really good scenes in this. She's like the only female character in this, basically. Yeah. But I don't know how popular this film is. I don't know how famous it is. I always think of it as like a really well-known film, but I'm not sure if it is. If you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth a watch. It's really interesting.
It's good fun.
It's a little bit like, you know, in the era of the Beatles, what if the Beatles or a Beatles-type band were just like one-hit wonders and just rode the same song forever, and how the rise and fall of that takes young people.
So yeah, go and watch it. It's good.
And if you do prepare to watch it for the first time, get ready to hear the song, that thing you do about 50 times throughout
it. Get it stuck in your head.
And it'll be stuck in your head
for years.
Yeah, I'm still recovering from the first time I watched it only a few years ago.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra.
Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So let's talk about Inventing the Abbots, which is next, which was a really weird film.
We're going to keep saying it.
Basically, again, like small town America. Mm-hmm. And there's this like wealthy family with three daughters.
Yeah.
And then down the road, there's like a not so wealthy family with like two good looking sons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about their dealings.
Slight rivalry between the families.
There's some history there. Their dad, like the boy's dad, died.
Mm. The families have history, and now they don't talk.
Yeah,
but the parents don't like that
their kids hang out with each other. Yeah,
and the two boys from the one family just chase these three girls from the other,
particularly the oldest son.
Yeah, he's like determined to work his way through them.
Yeah, and Liv plays the youngest sister. Yeah.
Who's romantically involved with a young Joaquin Phoenix in this film.
It's really cool. I like the setting, actually. It's like small town Illinois.
It's like 50s, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're just like at college and stuff. And they,
And Joaquin's character initially has a thing for the middle daughter.
Right,
and he ends up...
But he's really like close friends with the youngest for a long time. They're like just good mates, really.
Yeah, she wants it to be something more.
Yeah, and I think he's like, oh yeah, there's always been it kind of like clicks.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually,
I mean, it was easy watching.
Mm.
It doesn't stand out in my memory as something that like really blew me away.
No,
it was a very easy watching film.
It's like really off kilter film, like,
yeah. And it was fun to see some of these characters young, like these young roles, because it was the other brother was...
Billy Crudup,
yeah. He was the other. So it was Joaquin and Billy were like the two brothers, which
is
quite
50s
interesting.
Illinois.
Yeah, and they don't always get on so great. They're quite an interesting dynamic between them too.
So, it was a really good watch.
Yeah, I wouldn't say this was one of my favourites, but it was an easy watch and I didn't dislike it.
Mm. But I thought Liv was pretty good in it. Her character was like quite interesting.
She's playing the young, innocent girl again, dealing with sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Sexuality comes up a lot in her roles, in her films. It's quite a similar role to Stealing Beauty, actually.
But she's also quite steadfast when he like messes around. She's like, for fuck's sake. Like,
and when
what?
He's pushing it too far, she's like, get your hands off me.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty good. I think she's quite good in this role.
Yeah. Again, it's very similar to Stealing Beauty because she's very obsessed with not throwing her virginity away.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's chat about...
Well, then it was... She did Armageddon a few years later, which we've already talked about.
Yeah.
We were going to watch Plunkett and McLean, didn't get around to it. There's always one that we don't get around to.
Yeah.
We didn't get around to Plunkett and McLean, but we did watch Cookie's Fortune.
Yes. Which is quite interesting, actually. I don't think it was a particularly great film.
Before we move on, I just remembered something really interesting.
All right.
On Inventing the Abbots, she starred alongside Joaquin Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
They met for the first time on set here and ended up dating each other for the next 3 years.
Whoa. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I didn't know that they had a romantic history.
Huh.
I just want to throw that out there. What were we actually talking about?
Next up is Cookie's Fortune.
Cookie's Fortune. Okay, so this, I thought,
is
was going to
really
be
weird film?
A bit like heavy, like small town America.
Yeah.
Oh, I like these sort of films, and I didn't...
It's just weird.
It's just really odd. Like, the tone was... I thought,
another film we find weird.
I know, but I couldn't tell if, like...
The tone was off.
It was more comedic than I was expecting, but not in a way that...
Really made
my
me laugh.
Comedy sensibilities.
It's like, when was it out? 1999. Yeah, like late 90s comedy.
It's
just
really
a bit
odd style
like lackluster.
Of comedy, though.
Yeah.
And normally I like an odd style of comedy.
Yeah.
But this, I just...
There's some massive names in it, though. Like Glenn Close, Julianne Moore, Chris O'Donnell.
Big cast.
Charles Dutton, Patricia Neal. Yeah, like so many big people in
it's
there.
It's a weird one because I liked a lot of the cast. I liked a lot of the characters they played.
It just
I just
off.
Didn't all gel together for me.
Anyway, Liv played like a young girl in this as well.
Yeah.
But she was a bit more like hardcore. She was a bit like self-sufficient.
She's a bit like a runaway. Like,
yeah.
She lives out of a van. Her, mm-hmm. She cut her hair really short for this role.
Her family, her like mother. It's her mother and her aunt, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of like, she doesn't get on with them because...
She was basically raised by her aunt though because her mum isn't all together.
Yeah.
So she just sort of ran away.
Yeah, she just doesn't get on with like her aunt and her mum. So
no, she doesn't.
She's like separated herself from
she
them.
She is very close to. So who's cookie to her? Her great aunt or her grandmother?
Yeah, I think.
It's her grandmother, right?
Yeah, I guess.
And she's very close to the guy that lives with her.
Yeah.
Who's sort of.
Her caretaker, kind of.
Kind of a little bit like friend of the family who just lives with her and looks after her shopping.
Yeah.
And she's really good friends with him. That relationship.
Yeah, it's like a living carer, isn't
it? Probably my favourite part of the film.
Yeah.
I like their dynamic because when he gets arrested falsely for a murder.
Yeah.
He's in prison and she just like goes to prison with him. She's just like, oh, there's loads of stuff that I haven't paid any parking tickets. Just lock me up with him. And then they just spend the whole film in prison playing board games and stuff.
But they, like, it's such a small town, they never lock the doors and.
Well, she's dating the.
The police officer
who's like in the prison as well. So she's dating the guy who's supposed to be watching them, but and also good friends of the guy she's locked up with. That side of the film,
it's all a bit chaotic. Yeah, it's all a bit like slapdash, like small town.
It's slapdash. It's a little bit slapstick.
Yeah,
that's the side of the film I didn't like. That's the sort of comedy I didn't like. But I really liked her role and her character.
Yeah.
You smell like fish.
Yeah, well, you smell like turkey.
How long you been sleeping in that van? That ain't safe, you know.
I know. I found that out in Bluffton.
That's why you came back?
Yep.
It's something slightly different that we haven't seen in her before. It's a bit more
someone a bit more wild.
Yeah.
And that was
a bit more of a rebellious character.
Directed by Robert Altman, and that was sort of his intention as well. He wanted to cast her and have her play a different role because he really liked her as an actress, but he's like, I want to give you a different role to what you've had.
Yeah.
So he actually was the one, he said, will you cut all your hair off for this role? And she was like, yeah. He said that he felt that she had been portrayed as too glamorous.
Right,
was his words, in previous films, and he wanted her to
be a bit more rough and ready.
Be portrayed less glamorous. And then he said, you know, you're cutting all her hair off didn't really change how glamorous she looks because that's just the way she looks.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like a different look and a different type of character of her that I liked in a film that I didn't love.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You got it.
Thank you.
let's talk about...
Anegan.
Anegan, yeah.
No, yeah, that was the next film she did. That was in the same year.
Oh, God, this is a weird film.
I love this film. I really like this film.
It is a weird one, though, isn't it? So bizarre.
Is it? I didn't find this one that weird. I just... This is... This is one of the first ones we watched.
Right.
And I thought, I will get this out of the way. We nearly didn't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a period piece set in Russia.
Yeah.
About a guy who inherits a large estate.
Mm-hmm. He's quite, like, melancholic.
He's from the city, and he inherits a large estate in a very small village.
Yeah.
And is the new guy in the village, and the village is all tight-knit.
Mm-hmm.
He's played by Ralph Fiennes.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes a liking to this young, quiet girl in this village.
He's, like, next-door neighbour. Almost.
He's very educated and well-read, and he likes that she's quite interested in the books and going to the library, which is
the person who he inherited the estate off of always, like, it's like his uncle or something, so his uncle, like, always let her come and borrow the books. He's got quite a big library.
So she becomes sort of besotted with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes her, but he's not serious about romantic relationships. But what I found interesting about his film is you get to see... The change that happens sort of later in the film.
Yeah.
You get to see a real, like, change in both of their characters.
Yeah.
And I felt like you got to see her play...
Two different characters.
Just a more, like...
Hardened.
A role with more depth in it.
Yeah.
Where she... You see the change in her character.
Yeah.
Years
so,
later.
So, yeah. So, like, Rafe's character's, like, really aloof and he's quite... like, not... he's interested in her, and I think he's got, like you said, he's got taken a liking to her, but he's not, doesn't want to get into a relationship or anything like that.
He's
and then
not serious about romance and long-term love.
So in like the second half, she's a lot more like, so in the first half, she is kind of more like Faye and like,
yeah, she's playing a role we've love, seen her play before.
Love lust kind of, she's quite like immature and vulnerable, yeah. And then
quite a bit of like teenage angst,
yeah,
and lovelornness,
yeah.
Thank you for your letter.
I would like to apologize. I should never have declared my feelings.
Yes, but you would not be yourself had you not. I admired your letter.
Admired?
Yes. Your candor. I was moved by it. However, I would not wish you to feel compromised by its being in my possession.
It's yours.
Please.
It's yours.
And in the second half, she's more like steeled to the world, and she kind of has to...
she's taken on a lot of his traits.
Yeah.
From when she first met him.
She has to like do her duty and like be true to her, the path that she's decided to go down.
I just thought it was very interesting seeing her play such like a hard person.
Yeah.
And she's very steely.
Yeah.
In a way that I didn't expect her to be able to pull off.
Yeah.
But was very impressed that she did.
Yeah, it really worked.
I really like this film.
It's
like,
a really interesting like plot. I think it's like weird, like the plot of it is bizarre, but it, like interesting. So
it's just an interesting setting as well.
Yeah.
Even though it's set, it's all in an English film, but it's set within Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like this film. Weirdly, like, I don't know why. Since we watched this film, I've thought about it a lot. Like, it stuck with me. And
I'd, like, never heard of it. I think it's a bit of, like, under the radar.
Definitely. Yeah. And it was a real, like, Fiennes family job. Because as Simon Ray Fiennes, his brother did the score, his sister directed it. Yeah.
So the complete opposite of that is One Night at McCool's.
Oh, is that next?
Yeah.
Before we talk about this, I want to say that I've always been intrigued by this film. Because when I was younger, there was a big standee of this at the place I used to rent films from.
Mm-hmm.
And I always just thought, I always used to see the poster in the standee for this film without ever knowing what it was. I never saw it, didn't know anything about it, but I always saw this poster, this front cover, with her like laying down with the big red hair.
Yeah.
And I never knew it was Liv Tyler. When we watched it, I was like, oh my God, it's that film. I'm finally going to watch whatever the hell that film is. And like, well, we said we try not to be too negative on this show,
right?
So we just say we won't spend too much time talking about One Night at McCool's.
It wasn't for me. I almost couldn't. I couldn't really watch it after a while.
You did keep leaving the room while it was on.
Oh, I'd had enough.
It's an. You know what though? It's a weird film. So I like the premise.
Right.
The premise is.
It's about this woman, like Liv Tyler's character, from like three different guys' perspective of their dealings with her, like their encounters with her.
And so they all meet her, they all come across her on the same evening, one night in McCall's.
And they all become like infatuated with her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like about how she kind of uses them all for like her different purposes.
Yeah. So she's playing a very different character again.
Yeah.
Sort of manipulative, sexually charged, woman in control.
Yeah.
And that's. Not a wig, she did dye her hair red.
Really?
Yeah, that's real. Her real red dyed hair in this film.
Wow.
But what I did like about this film, there is something I did like.
Okay.
When they did it effectively, the way that, depending on who was telling the story, you saw the same scenes from different people's perspectives. Sometimes to, this is a comedy, not my type of comedy at all. But occasionally they would do something that made me smile. In these...
Cracked
my steely facade. As occasionally in these sort of scenes, I would think, oh, that's funny.
Like, it's
the
a cool
concept. They betrayed each other, then the guys didn't like each other.
Yeah, it's a
they
cool concept, so...
In a funny way.
So, yeah, I'll give it that. Like when
a cool concept, like terribly executed.
Yeah. When John Goodman's one particularly, when you're looking at the other characters from his perspective.
It's very cartoony.
Mm.
It's very cartoony. Oh yeah,
it's when so his, silly.
His flashbacks
yeah.
were so over the top but had something comedic to them.
Yeah.
But it was too cartoony. These sort of comedy cartoon I can't deal with these sort of films.
So yeah, that's One Night at McCall's.
Yeah, let's not talk about it anymore.
Next. Well, we've spoken about Lord of the Rings. Yeah. So let's move on.
So she did One Night at McCall's and then straight onto Lord of the Rings.
Well, I think she actually did it at the same time because Night at McCall's and Fellowship came out at the same time. So No wonder she wanted to do something a bit more lighthearted when she was like on the set.
Still.
Straight off the back of Return of the King, she did Jersey Girl, which is her and Ben Affleck again.
Yeah, reuniting.
Reunited.
And this is a Kevin Smith film.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, he thinks this is his worst film.
He's disowned it a little bit.
He didn't disown it, but he does sort of joke about it. God, like, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And I had never seen this. I don't think this is the worst Kevin Smith film.
No.
I think this is just a very mediocre sort of family comedy.
Liv plays, like, basically the local blockbuster, like, video rental girl, doesn't
yeah.
she? When Ben Affleck's, like, a single dad and he comes in to rent films when he moves back in with his dad.
I do actually find her really charming in this.
Yeah.
She was very likeable.
Yeah, I found her, like, this is the character that I wanted to see in, like, a few other ones where it's, like, small town America. She's kind of, like, fun
she's not
and honest.
Too fey. She's very fun. She's a little, quite funny. Like, she's very funny in this film.
Yeah, she's a little bit, it's, like, off the cuff and she's a bit more, like, humorous. Because I think she's, like, a student, isn't she? She ends up, like, asking him some questions. She was like, answer these questions.
Yeah, that's how they meet.
Yeah, because he comes in to rent porn and then she's like, why, like, how many times a week? Yeah,
like men and their, and how much they need to use porn and stuff like that.
And that's that interaction between
she's
that
cheeky.
Question. Yeah,
and
it's really funny.
It really worked well. She really pulled off this sort of, like, cheeky, fun girl.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I asked you a few questions about your renting practices?
Sure.
Really? Do you always rent adult titles with your daughter in tow, or is this the first time?
Excuse me?
Well, when you rent porn, do you usually do it with family around, or is this like a, you know, special occasion?
Do I have to answer this?
I'm a grad student. I'm writing a thesis paper. A Bird in the Hand, The Family Man and the Pornographic Fixation.
Okay. I would rather not take part.
Really? Frank, is Bye Bye Guys a one or a two-night rental?
What are you getting, Daddy?
Yeah, Daddy, what are you getting? Let's just take a little look.
Let's not. Okay.
This isn't a great film. This also isn't a terrible film. It's just a fine
It's a good watch.
Film.
It's all right. But Jennifer Lopez is in it for all of, like, 5 minutes as well.
Yeah.
Who was actually dating Ben Affleck at the time.
I think they'd broken up by the time the film came out. It was like to the very end. Like, he got her in.
Right.
He's friends with Kevin Smith in real life. He got her in. They're like, oh, we'll get Jennifer Lopez in. They were like together at the time, but then they had split up by the time the film came out.
Oops.
Something like that.
Mm.
Apparently there is like a version of this film, which is like, you know, she's only in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
She's in like the first hour. Like that thing that happens five minutes in is like an hour into the film. You got a whole... Oh, 45 minutes. I think it's 45 minutes. 45 minutes before, like, the film even feels like it's got started.
Oh, I'm glad it got cut.
Yeah.
It was all right. I'd watch it again.
Would you?
Yeah, it's pretty light.
I wouldn't choose to watch it again, but if it was on about fine, it's just fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Crack open some beers and you're drunk by halfway through anyway.
Yeah. Was it Lonesome Jim after this?
Yeah.
This is the one that I was alluded to earlier when we talked about Heavy, where I like a small town film. And they didn't always push the buttons. And from the outset, I thought, I'm going to love this film. It looks from the outset like a film I would love. But we keep saying it doesn't really go anywhere. This really just, it felt like it was lacking a lot.
Do you think, like, I'm not a massive fan of Casey Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he's a bit stilted.
He's in quite a few films I love.
Yeah.
He's not my favourite actor, but I think he chooses some really interesting roles.
Yeah, this is one of them, I think.
Sometimes, his sort of awkwardness really works in a film like A Ghost Story.
Yeah.
Which I love that film. It's a really bizarre film. And actually, I think him in his... sometimes he can feel quite distant.
Yeah.
And that really works in Manchester by the Sea.
Right.
Which is another film I really love.
In this, though, it's...
In this, it just
feels slightly short.
But this was so low budget.
Mm.
They had 16 days to make this film in.
It's directed by Steve Buscemi as well.
Yeah, directed by Steve Buscemi, who must have remembered working with Liv on Armageddon.
Yeah.
And was like, come on, we're making a film.
Yeah.
I love Steve Buscemi, but yeah, this, I don't know. It just...
The plot is bizarre.
I find it even hard to remember. I only watched this film 2 weeks ago, and I find it hard to even remember anything that happened in it.
Yeah.
It just felt like it just washed over me, and I was like, oh.
Casey Affleck's character's just like really depressed, and I think...
Yes, that's it.
The vibe of the film is just quite dour. And but Liv's, she is a light. She is like really good in this.
You must not think much of me either, I guess.
No, I do. I think you're all great. What?
You think I'm great?
Well, sure.
I think you're great.
There's so many fun and cheery people in the world. Don't you think you'd be better off with one of them? Someone more like yourself?
You think I'm fun and cheery?
Of course you are.
You just can't stop complimenting me, can you?
You're missing my point.
No, I'm not. I'm getting it very clearly.
It's sort of making light of depression in small town America.
Yeah.
In a way which I thought would work for me, but really it just didn't really click.
Mm,
I thought, well, before we watched this, I was like, this is definitely going to be in my top four. And then when I watched it, I was like, I can't even remember what happened in the film I just watched.
Yeah.
So really overlooked, and for a I thought it was going to be a hidden gem. And then when I watched it, I was like, okay, that's why this is overlooked, because it really hasn't got anything about it. Unfortunately. And so what did she do after that?
She did Rain Over Me.
Rain Over Me, okay. So this, she didn't have a massive role in Rain Over Me.
It's got Adam Sandler in it.
Yeah.
As like a serious, in a serious
It's
Adam
one of
Sandler
the
roles.
Rare serious Adam Sandler roles.
Yeah.
And he is a weird guy, because as a comedy actor in his regular films, he is one of my least favourite actors. Can't stand those films.
I didn't mind him in this, though.
When he takes a serious role, I actually think he's really good.
Yeah.
I wish he would do more of them.
And he's playing opposite Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle, who is great.
Yeah.
I really like Don Cheadle.
But they're the main characters, really.
Yes.
And Liv's character just is a backseat kind of character. She plays like a psychiatrist.
Adam Sandler's going through...
loss of
a
his family.
A real crisis.
Yeah,
just like a real, like, he is completely shut down from the world.
Yeah.
And he's lost it, basically. And he reconnects with Don Cheadle's character. They used to be roommates in college.
Yeah.
They were... trained to be dentists,
and he sort of tries to get him out of his shell, doesn't
he? Yeah, he really just, because he was seeing a psychiatrist because he felt like something was missing in his life, and the thing that's missing is
friendship,
a life outside of his own home, outside away from his wife and friends.
Yeah,
and then he reconnects with this guy, so he sort of fixes his crisis, but then realizes actually there's people out there with way bigger crisis than me, and he hooks up his friend, his reconnected friend,
they just
with
sort
his
of like,
psychiatrist.
Yeah, they bump into each other, don't they? And he's like, oh my god. But yeah, he eventually, but he doesn't like, Adam Sandler's character doesn't want help. So he kind of has to like trick him into it. So, it's quite interesting. Liv's character like struggling to help.
Yes.
And trying to deal with that.
Fine in this, but she hasn't got that many scenes.
No.
She has a few scenes, and the scenes that she has are pretty good.
Yeah.
And the scenes between her and Adam Sandler's character are very good.
But it's hard to give like a real...
But as good, even if...
Review, because she's not in it that much.
Even if she was incredible in this, like blowing you away, it still wouldn't be up there because it's just such a minor role, it feels like. But it's a film where there's really only two main characters.
Mm.
She probably is the third main character. And even then, she's hardly in it. But a real surprise. I quite liked this film.
Mm.
I was really surprised by it. And it is a lot to do with dealing with tragedy. Like a massive, on a massive scale, because this deals a lot with the aftermath of 9/11.
Yeah, September 11th. Yeah.
So it's dealing with people who you've lost in such a huge event. And that's what Adam Sandler's character is going through in this.
Mm.
And Yeah, it's like a dramatic film, quite emotional, but has comedy to it. Mm. It's not the regular wacky Adam Sandler comedy. It's more heartfelt.
It's definitely worth a watch. It's interesting.
I think having an actor, like, I think Don Cheadle's a really good actor.
Yeah.
So having someone of his caliber in it
to kind of steer
it,
the whole
gives
thing,
gives it a lot of
yeah.
weight and makes you, it draws you in more.
Yeah.
But yeah, a pretty, not an amazing film, but a pretty good film. Mm. But for her, not a major
role.
Film,
yeah. Okay, so let's chat about The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. Guess what role she plays in this?
The girlfriend.
Yeah, the partner. Again, this film is all right. It's one of the very early Marvel films where they're really just trying to find their feet with that universe.
It's like the first, second one, yeah. She plays Betty Ross, which is Bruce Banner's like love interest, basically.
Yeah. And she, there's a character that never returned to the MCU.
Yeah, weirdly.
Despite her dad in it, mm-hmm. having a kind of prominent role in those films going forward.
Played by William Hurt?
William Hurt's mm-hmm. character, yeah. But she never came back. And I think that's purely because Ed Norton was the Hulk in this. He had some issues with the direction of stuff. He left. They replaced him with Mark Ruffalo. So I think suddenly bringing her back and suddenly her and Mark Ruffalo and a romance, it just is a bit jarring.
Well, now they've sort of had, like in the Marvel universe, they've got the whole Black Widow and Hulk kind of flame happening. So it's a bit weird to bring her back.
Well, happened.
Spoilers.
The whole world's seen Endgame, right? I mean, it was one of the biggest films ever.
Anyway, I haven't watched this film for absolutely years. Years and years. I probably watched it maybe like once or twice ever.
Yeah, I've seen it a few times. And I like her in it, but it is like, she's like she's the girlfriend, you know, it's that sort of character where there's not much
massive
meat to
trope-y.
Her.
Massive trope-y, yeah.
Even though during making, her and Ed Norton were really into their roles.
Yeah.
And they spent a lot of time developing their characters' history together, their backstory, like, developing their life together before he was the Hulk.
Yeah.
And they put a lot of work into it. Like, Ed Norton was really passionate about this film. And I think him not being able to be in 100% control of it was what drove him away at some point, because it has to still fit within the MCU mould. Those films, whether you like them or not, have to follow a certain formula to keep the storyline open.
Yeah.
They can't, not many of the films feel like 100% their own thing. They're part of a bigger whole. And I think that frustrated him. So he was very passionate, and his passion really sort of drew her in, and they were very passionate about their roles.
Yeah.
And I actually kind of think their chemistry works quite well in these films.
Okay,
this film, sorry. But again, she's the girlfriend. It's not, she's not the Hulk.
Cool. So next, you've seen Super before, haven't you? But I don't think I have.
I've seen Super. I didn't love it. I thought I would like it a lot. It looked like something I'd like. She's sort of, she's not the main character. She's probably like the third, again, she always plays like the third main character.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't love this film.
Let's move
on. I haven't
on.
Really got a lot to say about it.
Let's move on to
the next film I watched this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
what was
it was
that?
A last minute, a last minute watch. I knew it was recording today, and I was like, I was doing some painting this morning, and I was like, I'll watch one of the films we didn't get around to. So this morning I watched The Ledge.
And?
I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you wish we'd swap this out with something that we didn't like so much?
Maybe One Night at McCall's.
Yeah.
This was interesting. It dealt a lot with theology and beliefs, just people's beliefs. I forget the actor's name, Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah.
He's sort of the main character. He's going to, basically it opens with him going to jump off the side of a building.
Right.
So the guy who's there to talk him down is played by Terrence Howard.
Right, yeah.
And the whole film is their conversation, basically, in flashback. He's telling him why he's going to jump. And meanwhile, Terrence Howard's character's got his own crisis going on. He's trying to be calm and talk this guy down when he has this turmoil going on in his head as well.
Right.
And actually, these guys opening up to each other and telling each other their own stories.
Right. So does Liz appear in like the flashbacks?
She is. Basically, they've been having, she's been having an affair with Charlie Hunnam's character.
Right.
Her actual husband is played by Patrick Wilson.
Right.
I do quite like Patrick Wilson, actually. And he plays a very, very Christian, stern, controlling husband.
Right.
And has sort of made her this religious fanatic.
Weird.
And she wants this escape from this guy who's very atheist.
Yeah.
And he's had tragedy in his life, which has made him sort of, I don't believe in anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But he, they're sort of, they live in the same block of flats, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband, like, can't stand this guy.
Right.
Initially because he thinks he's gay. And he's very homophobic. Because
he's like, just kind of the antithesis of what he is.
You know, you're against God, the things you're doing. Because he lives with another guy, his friend, who is gay.
Right.
So he lives with a gay guy.
He just assumes.
And they're good friends. And they go around for dinner and he presumes they're both gay.
Right.
And then they sort of have this sort of bitterness. And they're trying, but they have these conversations. They meet up a lot and they, why do you believe in God? Why don't you? And these theological conversations, which only makes Patrick Wilson's character more dogmatic.
Right.
And it makes him want to fuck him over by taking his partner away from him.
Right.
And so he starts trying to groom Liv. And then actually starts actually liking her.
Right.
So it's actually quite interesting. I don't know if I liked it more because it was sort of on in the background while I was doing something else. And just having it on, I was like, oh, it's drawing me in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought this was like an incredible film, but very watchable. Liv had to spend hours tied to a chair, basically almost naked for the last act of this film when she was filming it with a gag in her mouth, which wasn't particularly comfortable. Yeah. No.
That's crazy.
It's a really interesting film. It's a really interesting film. So I'm going to cut all that. I just told a load of spoilers to Becca because it really is an interesting film.
Are we going to chat about Robot and Frank? No.
I do like this film a lot, but she is by far not the main character in Robot and Frank.
It's not worth mentioning.
Robot and Frank, though, I will suggest to listeners, do watch this film. It's a really underrated, fun film about an old guy who gets a robot helper and decides to do crime with it. Basically, it's fun. An old man committing crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun.
Next one's Wildling, which you watched. Did you watch that? Yeah.
I watched Space Station 76 as well.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, this is like a row of films that I watched.
Okay.
So Space Station 76, this is her and Patrick Wilson again, who she was in with within The Ledge. This, I liked the aesthetic and the concept and the character. She plays like the new space station chief who comes in and is now I'm calling the shots from now on. And it's as a comedy, it's sort of like a 70s style version of the future. But it just doesn't pull it off. It doesn't all come together. And the reviews for this are pretty dire. There's some joy to be had in it, but it misses the mark overall. And then Wildling, I watched, and I did quite enjoy Wildling, weirdly. This is another one that's kind of panned. It's billed as a horror film. This happens a lot where a film is advertised as a horror film and then it's just not. There's no way, no shape or form is this film a horror film at all. It's like a weird fantasy film.
Oh, okay.
And so I think everyone going to see it thinking of a horror film, it's going to be a horror film, is saying this is garbage. I thought it was a bit silly.
Right.
But I kind of liked it. She is like she's a cop, basically, who takes in a girl who has been basically imprisoned all her life.
Right.
By her father, quote unquote father, who's kept her in a basement. And when he dies, they take her in and she actually takes her in herself. But all is not as it seems. You know, you can see everything coming a mile off, but it's not terrible.
I'm here to help you. I'm the one who found you. Your neighbors called me to report a gunshot. Sheriff Alan Cooper. I have a few questions to ask you. Would that be okay? Yeah. What's your name?
Anna.
Anna? It's nice to meet you, Anna. What's your last name?
Anna.
And then we're up to date. One more film, Ad Astra.
Ad Astra, yeah. I don't remember her in this. It's just Brad Pitt looking for his dad on a space station. 90% of
this film is Brad Pitt walking around on his own.
Yeah. And trying to look for his dad, who's played by Tommy Lee Jones.
So she didn't have a prominent role.
No.
And it wasn't a very memorable role. I remember when we watched this, we were like, oh, it's Liv Tyler. Like, I haven't seen her in anything for ages. That might have been what, like, got her in your mind.
I think she's got... Yeah, maybe. It. She's got quite a small role, I think. Anyway, yeah.
I will say, I just remembered something. Just jumping back to Space Station 76.
Yeah.
Her stepdad did, like, majority of the music for that film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
Huh.
Just chucking that in. But yeah, Ad Astra.
First dad.
Is a weird film.
It is weird, isn't
it? Again, another weird
film. It feels like nothing really happens. I think I remember it just being like, oh, it's ended.
Yeah, it feels like a long music video almost.
Yeah.
I didn't dislike it, but it's just odd. It wasn't what I was expecting it to be. And yeah, her role isn't huge or overly memorable in it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think we've gone past the list.
We're up to date.
So we'll have a little break.
Mm.
We'll come back
mm-hmm.
and we'll decide what our favourites are.
Yeah.
And what we would say her top four films she should be known for.
Yep.
Let's do that.
Okay, so now we do our top four, like, favourite films.
Yes. So these are always in no particular order.
Yeah.
Who's going first?
I'll go first.
You go first? So what were your four favourite Liv Tyler... it's the favourite performances, I guess. Favourite film plus performance. Yeah.
So I'm on Empire Records.
Yep.
Inventing the Abbots.
Ooh.
An Egan. And Return of the King.
Interesting.
Hmm. Yep.
So mine's very similar.
Right.
Mine is also An Egan.
Right.
Empire Records.
Yeah, classic.
I'd written The Two Towers.
Okay.
Because it's my favourite Lord of the Rings, but they're sort of interchangeable.
Hmm.
And I do like the added detail of that one that she had input with Peter Jackson to say, let's do some of these scenes in Elvish. That's the one where she sort of suggested that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that one is for me. And my other one is That Thing You Do.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So they're my four.
Okay.
And just remind me what the known for ones were again.
So the current known for is Armageddon, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, and Strangers.
Okay. Any of them that you would keep in there?
I'd probably keep Return of the King in there.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So let's leave that one in.
So you wouldn't leave Armageddon even though it's incredibly famous and what a lot of people know her from?
Maybe.
I wouldn't. I was just asking. I definitely wouldn't.
It's a terrible film.
I don't even... Her character is not very good in it either. Yeah. Even she is like, my character has got nothing in that film. Like, she hasn't got anything to do.
Yeah, no, let's take it out then.
The chemistry between her and Ben Affleck is just non-existent as well in that film. It makes me cringe, their scenes together.
Yeah, that scene where they're like the last scene together and that he's like on the picnic blanket.
Yeah.
Really awful.
It's, yeah.
Okay, so what would you suggest instead? I think Empire Records.
I definitely think Empire Records, yeah.
Yeah.
I would put in Stealing Beauty.
Yeah.
Because it's her first lead role and it's quite an interesting film and quite a ballsy one to take on as like a first lead role. So yeah, Stealing Beauty, I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
And my other one I've got in is That Thing You Do, but I'd be interested to see if there's something else that you would suggest in that place.
I would maybe say Inventing the Abbots.
Really?
Yeah, she's got quite a big role in that. I don't think she's got that big, like, such a big role in either of them, really.
Mm.
She's a bit more of like a third tier character. Maybe an Egan.
No? It's too obscure.
It is obscure. But she's one of the main characters in it. Hmm, this is tough. What about Jersey Girl?
Oh, I don't know if that is enough of a representation of her role. But you know what? In a weird way, I do like that she is more fun and comedic. But then we've got that in Empire Records.
Yeah, that's true. But I think she's a bit more like childlike and immature in Empire Records.
What we've got here is we're both fighting for the one from our own lists, which is not on the others. That Thing You Do is on mine and Invent the Others is on yours. And I don't want more than one Lord of the Rings in there. Like, we try and keep only one from a franchise in. I mean, The Strangers is in there. I don't think it's a great film. I don't think it should be in there. I get that she's the lead role in it.
Would you want to leave The Strangers in then? Even though it's not great, but she is the lead.
You know what? It was on both our lists, and we said that she kind of gets to play two sides of a character in it. Why don't we just go for An Egan?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
So it's Empire Records, Stealing Beauty, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, and An Egan.
An Egan, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I'll go for that.
Okay.
I'd originally not put An Egan as a possibility because I was like, I like that film, but it's really obscure. And
it is obscure,
like it.
But I think the rest of them are pretty...
I just think she's got such an interesting role in it.
Yeah, it is. It like those do show many different like sides of her like acting,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Okay, cool.
Great.
Done and dusted.
Like it. So that was a really interesting month. yeah. of films.
Such like stuff that I never think I would pick up and watch.
I would never have watched it. And that's actually one of the main reasons I like doing this show, because I watch anything. I like just films in general. So I will try anything out. And there's so many films that I watched over this month that I would never have watched otherwise.
Yeah.
Including ones that I ended up really loving, like Negan. So at the moment, for the next episode, we're in the middle of watching Arnold Schwarzenegger films.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And so far, they have been very fun.
Yeah.
Way more fun. I thought, is this going to be a strain, what rewatching these films? Are they actually going to, like, as a month of Arnold Schwarzenegger, going to do my head in?
Yeah.
No. We've watched three.
They're so silly.
And there's only one I didn't particularly care for.
But in a good way.
The first one we chose to watch, I'm not going to give any spoilers away, but I would just say the first one we chose to watch, we chose on purpose one of the stupidest ones because we had a really shit day.
Yeah.
We were, let's just watch one of the stupidest Arnold Schwarzenegger films. And I had a ball. I loved it.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how much I enjoyed a film which is not even considered to be a great film.
Mm.
And it's just got me so pumped.
Do you think it just hit us like right place, right time?
I didn't know if it was just nostalgia on that one.
Right.
And then the next one we watched was one I'd never seen before, and I loved it just as much. I'm all in for another month of Schwarzenegger films.
We've got quite a few more to watch, so stay tuned.
Yeah, I'm all in. See if the luster has faded by the time that episode comes around. At the moment, I'm three in and I'm all aboard.
But what I really want to know is now, who's the next person?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so for the episode after that, I said that my next two would be European actors.
Right.
So from Austria, I chose Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
So for my actress for the month after, I've chosen a French actress.
Okay, cool.
Who I've seen a lot of her Western films.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen any of her French films.
Right.
We haven't done a lot of world cinema on this, so it's a good chance for me to watch some French films I've never seen. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's an actress I like anyway, so it's interesting to see some of their Western films I haven't seen. It'd be a real good mix. My choice is Marion Cotillard.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. So, Marion Cotillard.
So, yeah, Marion Cotillard. But before that, like we said, it's the Arnold Schwarzenegger. While we are here, we normally talk about the four known fours to get us ready for the next episode. So what are Arnold Schwarzenegger's four known fours?
Predator,
that is, yep.
Part of the alien-like kind of...
I've seen that. You've never seen Predator, right?
No, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Eraser.
So Eraser, which I've never seen.
Yep, me neither.
I'm surprised that's up there.
But I don't know anything about it. The Sixth Day.
I'm even more surprised that one's up there. He's been in so many famous films. What are these two doing up there?
I don't know. And Terminator 2, obviously.
Yeah, one of my favourite films of all time.
Mm. So, yeah, there you go.
Like, we're saying it now, like, that will be in my top four. It is one of my favourite films of all time.
But if you've got any, like, a couple of suggestions for Arnie films would be coming in.
Yep.
But if you've got any more, drop us a line. We've still got time to shoehorn some more in.
Yep.
And, yeah, any Marion Cotillard films?
Mm-hmm.
Be interested if you've got any recommendations for her.
Definitely. So I think we're done.
Finally, cool.
We'll just run through before we close up. Our top fours, mine were Empire Records, Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, That Thing You Do, and Onegin.
Mm-hmm.
Beck as well.
Empire Records, Inventing the Abbots, Onegin, and Return of the King.
And the four we decided as the four known fours were...
Return of the King.
Empire Records.
Stealing Beauty.
And Onegin.
Cool.
So if you want to suggest any films for Arnie or Marion Cotillard, like Becca said, you can do so at knownforpod@gmail.com or go on to knownforpod.com.
Yep.
And do that. You can also contact me on Twitter at Bob Shoy. That's at BOBSHOY. You can also buy episodes of our spin-off show from this, 4 and 1 More.
That were previously Patreon only, weren't they?
Yeah, they're now available for purchase. You can buy all four episodes for $3, I think, on Bandcamp.
But that's on the website, so check out, known4pod.com.
Yeah, you can go to, or you can go directly there. It's bobshoy.bandcamp.com. But yep. There's four really fun episodes of 4 and 1 More on there.
Mm-hmm.
That won't be on this free feed, so
check. If you want
out.
A taste, we've just done a Studio Ghibli film.
Yeah. The last episode on this feed was the Studio Ghibli one, so you know what to expect. We've also done our 2019 films we did in the same way, so you know what the style of episodes are like. They're good fun to do, and the four that are Patreon exclusive or Bandcamp exclusive now are good ones.
Cool. Thanks. See you again.
Yeah, thanks for listening. See you next month for Arnie.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hasta la vista, baby.
Cool it.
Frank, is Bye Bye Guys a one or a two night mental?